John 11:17-27. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary still sat in the house. Martha, therefore, said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother shall rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world." So ends our text. Dear friends in Christ, when I was younger, my favorite television show was Batman, the animated series. One of the enemies he faced was named Ra's al Ghul. Now every Batman villain has some quirk that makes him unique. This particular fellow was immortal, or at least he did his best. Every so many years he would make his way to a secret place called a Lazarus Pit. By submerging himself in a fountain of glowing green slime, he would regenerate, becoming a young man again. Now this idea of miraculously prolonging life seems to permeate literature, history, even medicine. How many stories are there of a fountain of youth? Or how many news stories are about how if you use olive oil or take enough vitamin B, you'll live as long as those people on some Mediterranean island who live to 100 or longer? Or perhaps most bizarre, the rich who have their bodies cryogenically frozen to be awakened once the secret to longevity is discovered. The account we have for consideration today deals with the conquering of death, but rather than being fictional or foolhardy, we will see that there is a solution to death, one that is for all, not just the rich or otherwise privileged. On the basis of our text then, and by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, let us see that Jesus is the Lord of life. As Jesus approached the home of Mary and Martha, Martha went out to meet him in the path. She greeted him, saying, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Such was the faith of one who had known Jesus well and who had seen his power over illness and infirmity. She knew of his power of provision and restoration. This was the same Jesus who had healed the nobleman's son in Capernaum, had fed 5,000 on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, who had only recently restored sight to a man born blind. This Jesus, he could have prevented the death of her brother. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." She could have stopped right there. Many in similar situations do. In the midst of a test of faith, how easy is it to say to God, "If only you had been here"? In the midst of the tests that each of us face in this life, how often aren't we tempted to utter such words? It is when those things around us we rely on are shaken that we so often think this way. It was easy for Peter to be confident that he could walk out to Jesus in the storm from the safety of the boat. It was only once he went out among the winds and waves that he began to sink. It is not often that we see the result God has in mind for the test we face. Jesus, in the case of Lazarus, desired to see the faith of his disciples, including Mary and Martha, strengthened. As he told his disciples when they traveled to Bethany, "I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, there in Bethany, there to heal Lazarus, that you may believe." Graciously, for us as for Peter sinking on the sea, our Savior Jesus has a hand to extend to us. He reaches out to us in our weakness and lifts us to our feet, overcoming our weakness, fear, and doubt. It is with Martha that we in faith continue to say, "Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." With this emphatic declaration, Jesus asserted his power over death and reiterated that death, for everyone who believes in him, is mere sleep. This is a source of great comfort for the Christian, for each of us will one day face death, unless, of course, the last day comes first. Jesus followed his statement with a question to Martha, "Do you believe this?" Martha's response is one that rings of truth and confidence in her Savior. She replied, "Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world." Many were those who believed in Jesus during his earthly ministry for mere earthly provision. His feeding of thousands garnered him followers for a time. But when it became clear that it was not an earthly kingdom Jesus had come to establish, many of these fell away and forsook Jesus. Many today proclaim the name of Jesus, telling of his power and providence, yet still do not know what his mission truly was. We see this in the message of prosperity theology, promising relief from debt and illness. But let us not merely look out at those other people and the glaring specks we see in their eyes. First, remove the beam in your own eyes. Look into your heart and see that same attitude lurking in the shadows, that which looks to Jesus only when convenient, only when troubles arise, and only for the things we seek for ourselves, the things we want, the way we want them. We take warning at this false understanding of Jesus' word. Certainly God provides us with all we need, and that in abundance, but even more importantly, he provides a way for us to live. By the forgiveness won by Christ's sacrifice on the cross, we have new life. The wages of our sin have been paid. The righteous life we could never achieve for ourselves has been accomplished by Christ's act of obedience and credited to us by faith. Because of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, we stand justified before God, cleansed in the blood of Christ, declared not guilty and worthy to approach the throne of God. This is the culmination of Christ's work. We seek his kingdom, we seek his righteousness, and everything else will fall into place. We need not worry about the things of this life. Consider the lilies of the field. Let us always remember the provision of Christ on the cross, God who made the ultimate sacrifice for our sake, that we might have life. Jesus, in whom we place our trust completely. Amen.